This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Chaim Goodman-Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Chaim.
I guess we're coming back to school tomorrow.
Well, that doesn't really change my life so much, as though parking's a little bit crazier.
Yeah.
But for you, are you in the classroom tomorrow, or do you have a Monday
class?
I'll
be in class tomorrow.
What time?
Oh, I have to. Gosh, it's really tough. I have to be in there by 12:30.
Oh, there we go.
I'll see if I can
suffer through.
Suffer through it.
Chaim is a math professor at the University of Arkansas, and the last couple of weeks we've been talking about number theory
and how
it relates to keep potential thieves from stealing our credit card numbers when we use them on the internet.
That's right.
Last week, you had this kind of clever parlor trick. Well, I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but this sequence that you showed about taking two prime numbers.
Two prime numbers, say 3 and 5.
Say 3 and 5. Then you take the numbers one below those, 2 and 4,
mm-hmm.
multiply that, you get 8, and 8 is a magic number.
We're going to call that the magic number for 3 and 5. Now, we're going to be working modulo 15. That's the product of 3 and 5.
Right. 3 times 5
so
is 15.
So that means we're going to cast away all the 15s every time we see one.
So in other words, 31 modulo 15 is 1.
1.
Because there's a 15, then a second 15 to get to 30, and you're left over with 1.
That's right. If we take any number that's not a multiple of 3 or 5,
mm-hmm.
so 4, for example,
mm-hmm.
but also maybe 192.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a multiple of 3. 193.
No. Okay.
And we raise it to the magic number, 8.
Take 193 times 193, et cetera.
Eight times
to the 8th power.
Then you throw away all the 15s.
Of what that product was.
That's right. And you'll get 1. Always 1. 193 to the 8th power, modulo 15 is 1. Last week, we closed with the question, why is it true that if you take any odd number that is not a multiple of 5,
mm-hmm.
and you raise it to the 4th power, the last digit is always 1. It always is. So 193 to the 4th power, last digit's 1.
Yeah.
1279 to the 4th power, last digit's 1. Well, this is just another application of the same thing. We're working modulo 10. When we look at the last digit, we're throwing away 10s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the prime numbers, the pair of primes here are 2 and 5. And the magic number is then 1 times is 4.
Right.
1 times 4.
Because 1 is less than 2, 4 is less than 1, less than 5.
So this thing we're working with, which is called Fermat's Little Theorem, says that any number that's not a multiple of 2 or 5, that it's an odd number that's not a multiple of 5, raised to the 4th power, mod 9, is 1.
Huh.
That's why. So, okay, let's see. We were working with 3 and 5. Magic number was 8.
Mm-hmm.
Modulo 15.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 to the 8th power, modulo 15, is
1.
1. What's 4 to the 9th power, modulo 15? 8 of those make 1.
Right.
So we have 1, and then we still have 1 more 4. So it's 1 times 4
when we're
working modulo 15.
So it'd be 4.
It's just 4. So that's pretty neat. If I take 4 to the 9th power, modulo 15, I'll just get 4 back.
So this is what we're doing here is number theory? Or is part of number theory?
We're applying some number theory, yeah.
Applying number theory. And this is the same thing that's happening
when
I order something
over
the...
So when you order something online, this is one of the most common encryption schemes. This was the first encryption scheme that was sort of this type. Really, something like this is going on, except that the prime numbers are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the thing that's really neat about enormously large numbers is that it's actually not that hard to find, comparatively, for a computer.
Right.
It's not that hard to find really big prime numbers, like 100-digit prime numbers.
Mm.
Now, but what's hard, though, is if you multiply those two prime numbers together, it's very, very difficult to figure out what the factors are. That's hard. That's really tough. There's no real way to do it. Nobody knows if there's like a fast procedure to figure out what the factors of a big number are. But so far as anybody knows, it's very, very hard to break that.
So if I take one gigantic prime number and multiply it by another gigantic prime number.
That's right. So if I tell you that we're working modulo bazillion something
mm-hmm.
or another, you would not be able to figure out what the two primes were.
Right.
That's really important. That means you can't tell me what the magic number is. Let's just talk about encryption a little bit. So when we were kids, at least when I was a kid, when you were a kid, most people listening to us and probably enjoyed making ciphers of various kinds. Like you'd write some message and A would become C and...
Right. You'd have a code.
A code, right.
Right.
But always the sender and the receiver had to have the same key.
Exactly.
Right? And it makes sense. Throughout really all of history, there have been codes like this, but it was always assumed that both parties, sender and receiver, had to have the same information. Well, the big discovery was that Fermat's little theorem and things like it give you a way of making ciphers that basically anybody can encode, mm-hmm. anybody can do the scrambling, but you need special additional information to do the descrambling, to unscramble them. Now, if you think about like the way we did things when we were kids, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's impossible to even conceive of how you could make a code like that. Let me tell you how it works. It turns out that 3 and 5 are just a little awkward for illustrating this. So let me just switch to 3 and 11.
Both prime numbers, though.
Both prime numbers.
Okay.
So 3 and 11. Now, the magic number for 3 and 11 is
20. Because 20. 3 minus 1 is 2, 11 minus 1 is 10. Multiply right. 2 times 10 together, they're 20.
Now, remember, that means that if I take any number that's not a multiple of 3 or 11, which mm-hmm. is based, you know, lots of numbers.
Right.
And those are going to be our codes, you know. I mean, really, when data information's transmitted, it's just a big, long number, so that's okay.
Okay.
So our code, our secret, the message we want to encode is like 2.
Okay.
When I take 2 and I raise it to the 20th power and I'm working mod 33, 3 times 11,
right.
I'll get 1. When I raise 2 to the 21st power, I'll get
2.
So when I raise 2 to the 41st power, I'll also get 2.
Right.
Because it'll be 20 twos will be 1. Another 20 twos will be 1. I'll have 1 2 left over. That's 1 times 1 2. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's the deal. I'm the credit card company. You'll mm-hmm.
I'm the purchaser. Okay.
The purchaser, right. Now, you're going to want to send me some sort of message, say 2.
2.
And okay. You're going to send it. The kleptomaniacs, all these radio listeners are going
right.
to try
and
to steal
the information. Right. They want to grab my credit card information.
So what I'm going to do, you don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that we're working modulo 33.
Okay.
But 33 is such an enormous number that we have no hope of factoring it.
Gotcha.
We have no hope
gotcha.
Of figuring out what the magic number is.
Gotcha.
Okay? Now then, I'm also going to tell you one more thing, that to encrypt it, I want you to raise things to the third power.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm going to tell you we're working mod 33, mm-hmm. and to do your encryption, raise everything to the third power.
Okay.
Now, in a minute, I'll tell you why I chose that and how the decryption works. Okay, so you code your message.
Uh-huh. I've typed it in.
Okay, your message is what? It's 2, right?
It's 2.
So 2, raise it to the third power.
So 2 times 2 is 4, times another 2 is 8.
Nobody has enough information besides me to know what the magic number is and how to get the 2 back.
Okay.
Everybody knows that we're working mod 33.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that you raised it to the third power, mm-hmm. but there's not enough information to tell what 8 is the third power of. Now, of course, we're working with really little numbers,
right, this
so
would normally
it's ridiculous.
Be, right.
So here's the deal. 20 is the magic number, and mm-hmm. so 2 to the 21st power is going to be 2 again.
Right.
So you've sent 8. That's already 2 cubed. That's right?
Mm-hmm.
If I raise that to the 7th power, I'll have a total of 21 twos again.
Right.
I don't have to know what your message was. I do know that you raised it to the third power. If I raise it to the 7th power, I'll have a total of 21 of whatever your original thing was.
So these computers,
they can do this lickety-split. Just
right.
See how?
Yeah, no, I do. So so basically, I'm sending the message.
You send the message.
And even I don't even know this, but when I'm sending it, I'm doing something that the computer on the other end, you, the company, wants it to do. Then when you get it,
then I do a little bit more arithmetic that requires having this little secret piece of information, what the magic number say is, and then I can decode it.
So, okay.
Now the whole thing that makes this work, the whole thing that our entire economy rests on right now, is how tough is it to factor large numbers?
And apparently it's very tough.
But nobody's actually proven that it's very tough.
So no one's just proven that it's easy. No one's come up with an easy way.
No one's apparently. Come up with an easy way. Now, maybe the National Security Agency might actually have some information about this. Because actually, you know, they're the number one employer of mathematicians
in the world. I did not know that.
And
this is
the kind of reason why. And but so far as anybody knows, there's no easy way to factor numbers. And that's what makes finding the magic number so hard. for big numbers and what makes this whole thing work.
Thanks, Haim.
Thank you.
Haim Goodman-Strauss is a math professor at the University of Arkansas. He joins us almost every Sunday morning on Ozarks at Large.